It is time for Brian Ross and Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we take a look at news stories that are up and about and around. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you as we watch the Republican Party turn its guns on each other.
You know, it's amazing to sit here and see. I mean, I once was a member of the Republican Party when I got disgusted with the Democratic Party, and then I
as a progressive, you're a member of the Republican Party. That's quite a statement.
Well, I got so upset with the Democrats, and then I finally decided, you know what? I'm just going to become an unaffiliated voter, and that's where I stand. That's where I stand today. I don't get to vote in primaries, but because in Connecticut, but I just feel better. But as I look at both parties, you know, I do have some conservative values in me left over from my grandmother, majority of progressive. You know, the difference between being a progressive and a conservative is like the difference between crazy and not crazy. It's a hair. But the Republican Party is now, if you were to go back 10 years and tell people that, okay, these are the values of the Republican Party, I will tell you right now, people would have thought you were absolutely crazy.
Well, it's and you see what's going on now as they try to push out, apparently about to happen, Liz Cheney from her role in the House of Representatives leadership. She is about to be replaced, apparently, by a New York Congresswoman, Elise Stefanik, who, according to the groups that rate these congresspeople on their how they vote, is far more liberal than Cheney. Of course, the daughter of the former vice president, who had the temerity to challenge Donald Trump and wrote, I don't know if you read it yesterday in the Washington Post, that the Republican Party, she said, is at a turning point, and now we have to choose between truth and fidelity to the Constitution. And the truth, of course, is that the election was not stolen, and she continues to make that point, and Republicans are upset about it because she is passing on, or won't pass on, the big lie.
And the big lie and what's going on with the Republican Party is one thing, but when you take a look at the Republican Party, if this continues to go, I really do think what will happen is the Republican Party will no longer be a conservative party. It will be a party that is based on loving America only and America first. It will be an America First party. And I do believe that those conservatives that were members of the Republican Party in the base of the Republican Party will have to go elsewhere, either form their an additional party if they want to get their conservative views across, because right now the Republican Party is neither conservative nor liberal. It is really a party that is not focused on the world. It is a party that is not even focused on the country. It is focused on its base.
Well, and we see now from Mitch McConnell, who has sort of said what everyone thought was true, but it's just made it clear, he is 100% committed to stopping the Biden agenda. That's all he really cares about. So these efforts to work the Republicans in Washington between the Democrats and Republicans, it's very strange because McConnell's saying we're 100% committed to stopping anything Biden wants to do. So it does not suggest they can cooperate.
You know, I was saying the other day on the air, and once again, Brian and I, our opinions are our own. They don't represent any other opinions of people that are affiliated with Tri-State Public Communications. But I was saying that I sit here in absolute amazement that there will be no true conservative views sooner or later coming from the Republican Party. And what the Republican Party has forgotten in its new setup is that politics is a business that relies on negotiation and compromise, true politics. And that is not there is no compromise.
That may well have been the belief at one point, but I'm not so sure anymore. In Washington, at least, they are both dug in. Very little room for compromise. For, you know, the old log rolling, in part because of reforms that made it more difficult to give and take. You know, you call something called earmarks, where people who are in Congress could get a little, my bridge is taking care of your highway, you know, your new airport. They outlawed that essentially because it was leading to corruption. So now you can't really even entice members of Congress to vote for or against something with an offer of the new highway or the new interchange.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Lynn Cheney portion of the party. I think the Republicans are rolling a big set of dice and counting that by doing what they're doing, they will strengthen their base for future elections. And I'm just not so sure. I mean, I could be proven wrong. I've been proven wrong before. I think that they're going to find out in the next 2 to 4 years that it is a serious mistake.
I think so too. They're counting on the Trump base. He is so fickle. He is not really loyal to anybody but himself. And Kevin McCarthy thinks he's cut a deal with Donald Trump. So does Mitch McConnell. I think privately they can't stand him, but they feel like their politics, which is just all that matters is to win. With Trump, they feel they have a sure thing. I'm not sure. So sure it's sure.
All right. I want to go out to something that popped up yesterday, and I go back and forth on this, and I read the story, and I've read more information, where the United States backs a waiver on the vaccine patent to boost its supply. I think it sounds on the surface like a great idea because by getting rid of that patent on the supply, you're obviously going to be able to spread much more, and it'll be easier for other countries to produce the vaccine.
Right.
But on the other hand, and I don't like pharmaceutical companies. My brother was a president of a pharmaceutical company, a vice president, who just retired. And I always used to say, my brother's a great guy when he's not wearing his pharmaceutical suit. but there is, and because he always used to say, we spend a lot of money to come up with these, and that's the way it has to be. There is a certain truth to that when it comes to when you come up with a vaccination in 3 to 4 months instead of 5 or 6 years. This is a real tightrope you have to walk and figure out.
Well, we're not safe until the rest of the world is safe.
Yep.
What's happening in India is really, I may not appreciate it sitting here in Litchfield County, but it is really a threat to all of us because as it spreads, it creates new variants, and so far the vaccines we have are thought to be successful against those new variants. But at some point, there may be a variant that comes out of this spread that won't be resistant, and we'll be able to come back here and have a fifth or sixth wave here. So I think what the president has finally decided to do, and it's not sure it's always going to go through, is to go along with the WHO and say we're going to lift the patent restrictions so that everybody in the world can make these same vaccines, which are miraculous, no doubt about it. And there must be a way to compensate the pharmaceutical companies. You see, Pfizer announced yesterday this multi-billion-dollar profit from the production of the COVID-19 vaccine. They're going to make money. It's just a question of how much. And should that stand in the way of saving lives around the world?
That's what I was hoping, that, okay, let's get together and figure out, yes, you can make your money, you can have your cut, there's no doubt about it, but how do we help the rest of the world? One other thing, I remember years ago what happened in Cuba with the diplomats that were there. They were getting sick because of some sort. Well, now that has come full cycle. And how many years later, and now this has become another now big part of what we have to deal with and how we're going to deal with it, because it is really almost an act of war if there is actually something that a foreign country is doing to endanger our diplomats, especially on our own turf.
Right. Consider these high energy beams, which apparently may even be being used in Washington, according to some concerns. So that's how you twist science into something that is harmful. With the vaccines, hats off to everybody that created it, in part because of investments by the United States and European governments that put money up front and move things along. It's no time to pig out for the pharmaceutical companies. They'll make their billions. It's just a question of how many billions. And it would be absolutely immoral, I think, for this country to stand in the way of that vaccine being made available worldwide.
It's an interesting time where we live in, but really, I really I didn't expect the political drama to go away when, especially after Joe Biden won the presidency and what happened up to his actually becoming president. But the divide in this country is no longer a political divide. It is a square divide about it's everything. It's over guns. It's over health care. I mean, you name it, and there's no negotiation going on, not only in the Senate and the House, but also on individuals. That's the dangerous part. It seems people forgot how to negotiate and with their friends and neighbors as well.
Well, you can see the rest of the country saying, you know, politics, I've washed my hands of it. Who needs it? Who needs Washington? There are some that argue that the gridlock there and the lack of doing anything is good because it doesn't get in the way. But, you know, the Biden administration has very aggressive proposals to essentially reshape our ability to help other Americans. And you saw Biden yesterday saying, that, you know, I'm going to raise taxes, no doubt, but homes, they can still have their two or three homes. They can still travel by private jets. I'm not going to reduce their quality of life, but I am going to increase the quality of life of so many other Americans. And I think that argument carries a lot of weight with voters, and certainly the opinion polls show that even among Republicans, many of his proposals are receiving a warm welcome.
Well, for years,
Not by the members of Congress. Yeah.
For years, the 1%, the 3% have been treated royally in this country, and that includes Democratic administrations and Republican administrations. And now it's time for those 1%ers and 10%ers to understand if they want a whole country, they've got to give back some of what they've earned and taken away over from the middle class over the past 20 years.
I think you're right about that, and that's always the question with the taxes. I mean, is everyone paying their fair share? Are the people whose investments doubled or tripled during the pandemic, are they paying their fair share? Are they prepared to pony up, or is it a question of selfishness? I'm not giving anything to anybody who doesn't work. And I think that Mr. Biden has put this agenda on the table, and the polling so far shows that he has received a very, very good reception across the board from all sides of the political spectrum, except for those people who are in Congress and loyal to Donald Trump.
All right, we'll see what happens in the next week, Brian. Have a great weekend.
Okay, Marshall, it should be a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. And if you miss any of them or you want to hear the archives, robinhoodradio.com, click on On Demand, click on the link for Brian Ross and Real News.